Good morning. It's Monday, May 6th. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up, Brittany Griner is now talking about her time in Russia, why so many American children are doing the adult work of caring for family, and Madonna draws a record crowd to the beach in Rio. But first to Gaza, where the Israeli military is ordering an evacuation of part of Rafah. This is the southern city where more than a million civilians are sheltering. Israel has been threatening to invade for months. Its defense minister told Israeli troops in Gaza to expect intense action in Rafah soon. Last week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he was prepared to invade Rafah, regardless of whether a ceasefire deal is reached with Hamas.
We will enter Rafah because we have no other choice. We will destroy the Hamas battalions there. We will complete all the objectives of the war, including the repatriation of all our abductees.
There were no breakthroughs in ceasefire negotiations over the weekend. There's a proposal on the table for a 40-day pause in fighting. Hamas would begin releasing hostages, and Israel would release some Palestinians from prison. Hamas wants a permanent ceasefire and withdrawal of Israeli troops, which Netanyahu has rejected. Thousands of people gathered in Israeli cities over the weekend to protest Netanyahu's actions, saying he's standing in the way of a hostage release. Demonstrators called for a ceasefire agreement and new elections. The AFP spoke with a protester in Tel Aviv.
I think we should go for this deal, and I think we should go as fast as we can, because there is no time that is left.
But with no ceasefire agreement, the fighting goes on. Yesterday, Hamas launched rockets at a border crossing into Gaza. Israel says three of its soldiers were killed. It fired back and also closed the crossing, a key delivery point for humanitarian aid. This comes as the director of the World Food Program says parts of Gaza are experiencing famine. Cindy McCain was on NBC.
There is famine, full-blown famine in the north, and it's moving its way south.
McCain's remarks are not an official declaration of famine, but she's now the second high-profile American aid official to acknowledge famine conditions in Gaza. Israel says it is letting more shipments in, but many international aid groups say that civilians need far more food and medicine than they're getting. Also, Netanyahu faces criticism from the UN and press freedom groups for shutting down Al Jazeera's operations in Israel. Authorities raided its Jerusalem facility, seizing equipment, shutting down broadcasts, and blocking access to the news outlet's website. Netanyahu claims its reporters are a threat to national security. Al Jazeera says the shutdown infringes on human rights and access to information. It's one of just a few international broadcasters providing on-the-ground coverage inside Gaza. And in the U.S., student anti-war protesters are turning their attention to college graduations. Around 50 spoke out at the University of Michigan's commencement Saturday, chanting and unfurling Palestinian flags.
Disclose! Divest!
We will not rest!
Planes also flew overhead, one carrying a banner calling for a divestment from Israel. Another had a pro-Israel message. More commencement ceremonies are coming up across the country this week. Now to a story that we closely followed on the show. Russia's imprisonment and eventual release of Olympian and WNBA star Brittany Griner. It's been just over 2 years since Russian authorities detained her at an airport. They found cartridges of cannabis oil in her bag. Those were legal where she lived, but restricted in Russia. Griner says she overlooked them while packing. A Russian court sentenced her to 9 years in a notorious penal colony. Now she's talking in detail about what she experienced in a new memoir out tomorrow called Coming Home and an exclusive interview with ABC's Robin Roberts. She talks about what she endured over nearly 10 months before the U.S. government negotiated her release in a prisoner swap.
Conditions were rough in the buildings. There's about 50, 60 women in my room, one bathroom, three toilets, no hot water, and a long farm style like sink where everybody is washing all types of body parts while I'm brushing my teeth. I got a foot right here.
Another jail she spent time in wasn't any better. Griner is 6'9". Her cell was 7x7. The toilet was a hole in the floor. The bed was way too small for her.
The mattress had a huge blood stain on it, and they give you these thin two sheets. So you're basically laying on bars.
I mean, just the way you describe it in such great detail, you were only allowed one roll of toilet paper that had to last you a month.
There was like 2-3 months where we didn't get anything.
She said she felt less than human at times and had suicidal thoughts in the early weeks of her detention. She also reflected on all of the people who helped her stay strong and survive. A caring cellmate, her lawyer in Russia, her WNBA teammates and fans. And her family, especially her wife, Sherelle. They're expecting their first baby. And Greiner told Roberts she hopes her story teaches their child how to persevere.
Life happens, and you're thrown a curveball. Sometimes it's a big curveball. And what you do in those moments defy who you are, and it shows your character. I just want them to know to always hold their heads high and walk with grace.
Millions of young Americans are serving as caregivers to family members. These are teenagers, sometimes younger, doing the difficult work of caring for sick and disabled parents and grandparents, sometimes siblings. Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry explains how the adults in these children's lives may have chronic illnesses like MS or dementia. Some have mobility issues from serious accidents. And because in-home care is so expensive, many families have children doing labor, typically done by trained healthcare professionals.
The range of care is everything from giving injections, administering medication, things like preparing meals, picking up the slack in the cleaning, the laundry. Sometimes these kids stay at home to care for a sibling when a parent has to work.
Ansberry told us about a 12-year-old girl who stays up with her father at night because of his kidney disease. She sometimes falls asleep in class the next day. And Ansberry spoke with a 15-year-old boy whose mother uses a wheelchair. He gives his mom physical therapy 3 times a week and helps with other daily care.
He said it's become his normal. Like, he helps her brush her teeth. He helps her floss. If she's having difficulty eating, he will help her with her utensils.
Even though it's become his normal, Ansberry says the teenager feels alone. Like, he's the only kid with these responsibilities. But an estimated 5.4 million children in the U.S. are caring for relatives. That's a sharp increase from 2 decades ago. Apart from the cost of hiring professionals, there are also more child caregivers because the population is aging, more parents work, and more families live in multi-generational households. And these kids are feeling the strain. One study found they were 15% more likely to experience ongoing sadness compared to kids who are not taking care of relatives.
You know, these kids need respite. You know, adult caregivers need respite from caregiving. And these are children who need respite from the caregiving just so they can be kids. Because a lot of these kids worry about leaving the home. You know, one young girl was saying, you know, my friends want to go out for a walk. But I find that, like, after 20 minutes, I'm anxious to get home and make sure my mom's okay.
Finally, 1.6 million people saw Madonna play live over the weekend. She closed out her world tour with a free concert in Rio Saturday. When she came out, the famed Copacabana beach turned into a stage and a dance floor. Fans came to Brazil from around the world for the spectacle, with dozens of extra flights into Rio added to bring people in. Many Madonna fans waited days to get prime spots to see her perform her greatest hits. This is a beach that's hosted giant concerts before, from the Rolling Stones to Rod Stewart. The city put together a large response to handle the Madonna crowds, her largest ever. Thousands of police deployed and firefighters sprayed water to keep people cool. Rio officials say the concert alone will have tens of millions of dollars in local economic impact. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the News app, we've got a narrated article coming up next that, depending on your age, is either a history lesson or a trip down memory lane. It's a look back at the pioneering online community Black Planet. It was founded in 1999, well before Facebook, even before MySpace. The Atlantic looks at how Black Americans created a place that was light years away from today's often toxic world of social media. Black Planet was a place where people could talk politics and culture, learn to code, and fall in love. This piece looks at its legacy and lessons for us today. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story, and I'll be back with the news tomorrow.